This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. It's Raise Your Game. Everyone responds differently to stressful situations. Most people fear change and are afraid to challenge the status quo. But Dr. Yvonne Summer is of the belief that business as usual is done for. Business unusual is the new order of the day. In this four-part series called Transformation in Transition, I won't do the acronym, Dr. Yvonne Summer will talk about not just accepting, but embracing the chaos of change and taking a stake in the transformation that occurs as a result. So we're kicking off the series by being mindful in the midst of madness. Good to be speaking to you again, Yvonne. I have to ask, what do you mean by madness?
Come on. I mean, the world is growing so quickly.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are feeling a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I think situations are volatile around the world, to say the least. And there's a lot of uncertainty in business, whether you're in a big MNC or whether you're in government. Certainly as an entrepreneur,
yeah.
I'm certainly feeling that as well.
GST
coming up, exactly. You know, people saying like, why? You know, I have to introduce it. And all for the better, of course,
okay.
we all hope for. But I think people are uncomfortable and therefore they're feeling like there's an insanity in the world. And they're the only sane ones.
Yeah.
So that's the madness.
All right. But also, isn't someone always in some kind of crisis, or we like to think it's crisis?
It's funny. You know, I've just set up my global operations here in Kuala Lumpur. And I think one of the key things that I mentioned that I'm a specialist in crisis leadership. And most people say, well, we're not in crisis. I think the word is quite emotional.
Yeah.
So I think whenever you actually deny it, you probably are in a crisis. That's the denial part of the grief process, right? You're losing something familiar. But I think crisis can be defined as the fact that when we are changing so quickly, we actually don't know whether we're going to meet our expectations or rather our expectations that we hope for is going to go the other way.
Right.
It's going to go worse. So and then we don't know how.
Mm.
We don't know how to get out of it. So if you've ever felt that way, I bet you've been in a crisis, whether it's personal or professional.
Okay, it could be even the work situation, organizational change. Am I going to meet my numbers? How will GST affect my numbers? You know, these sort of things.
Right.
The mini crisis.
Yes.
Right? These things will affect us. Okay. Now, you talk about being mindful. Why is this important to be mindful of this madness?
I think gone are the days where you can actually plan quarterly.
Yeah.
And know that your forecasts are going to be
met
on the money, right? Literally. So I think one of the key things we are saying mindful is that if we define mindfulness as that ability to be present, and I think that's kind of pervading everything we're talking about, mindfulness is the ability to use your senses in the moment.
Mm.
So to see things clearly, to hear things clearly, perhaps to feel energetically changes, because sometimes you can't see or hear them, short of tasting and smelling. You know, we talk of things that stink.
Mm.
We talk of, you know, situations that smell fishy.
Mm.
So, I mean, there is certainly, I think, our ability to pick up nuances. So the only way you can be mindful in the midst of madness is you actually have to have some self-awareness. So a lot of people are now starting to look at meditations and minding their own energies.
Right.
Gone are the days when even like business books like the Corporate Athlete, you know, written by Jim Lohrer and Tony Schwartz about the, you know, how have the rules of engagement changed? And really it's not managing time and stress in the corporate world by senior managers. It's managing their energy. So I think there's been recently a conference here in Kuala Lumpur about leadership energy. And there's a lot of neuroscientists coming in now to say that, you know, all those things about yogis and meditation
are making sense.
Is making sense. And in fact, neuroscience can actually tap into some evidence around that because we now can measure it. So what we're saying is that if you are leading your life, forget about leading teams. If you're wanting to lead your life through this madness, you've got to start turning inward and start understanding what makes you tick.
Right.
And if you're not calm under the change, your decision-making is shot because your decision is based on past information and past experiences. And if the world is changing so quickly, that doesn't work anymore.
Right.
So you've got to be mindful in the moment to tap for the changes and try things out.
Right. You know, for me, one of the most difficult things was exercise, right? And the other thing as well is when something happens, I just want to react very quickly. That is my normal reaction. I find that what I do right now is step back, rest, do something totally different, go trail walking, you know, enjoy the jungle, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And just not think about things. And then the answers will come a little later.
Right, right. Because it's a bit like, I mean, I think somebody made the analogy of meditation. And I say meditation really is about kind of letting all those thoughts of the future and thoughts of the past be sort of put aside. It's like shaking a glass of water.
Mm.
I mean, that's how the madness in the world creates us. So if you've got a little bit of silt in the glass and you shake it up, it's all really cloudy.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you just set that glass still, within moments, the silt settles, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then it clears up and you say, BFO, blinding flash of the obvious.
Okay.
Suddenly you think, oh, why didn't I think of that? But if you cannot keep calm in moments of stress, we just make bad decisions. I'll give you the example. I mean, recently, I suppose, I've just come out of the aviation industry. So opening the airport in Qatar, I was working with the senior leadership team there. Now, can you imagine as the pressure goes up as the opening dawned closer and the teams are trying to do their best, obviously, because the world is looking upon them for the opening of the airport. So the stress was high. Mm. They're all engineers. They're into process and they're brilliant at what they do. But they've started finding that they were so focused on trying to get things right. They didn't work well together. And the only thing I asked them to do, which I spent, I guess, the last 3 months working with them, within the first 10 days of working with them, all I asked them to do was breathe.
Mm.
So I said, take a deep breath, count to six, okay, breathe out, count to six, do that 10 times, then make your decision. And that's just personally for them. So whenever they see each other in along the corridors, these eight VPs, right, they'll go, breathe. And it's great. And then they had a couple of hand signals, which was just checking their emotional state. So if somebody was looking really stressed like this, right, they basically had three ways of indicating across the room. So they're feeling yuck, right? Yeah. So that's, I'm at the 10. So anybody that's in their team that's a VP saw each other, they walked up and said, okay, mate, you know, want to talk about that? Yeah, I just want to clear my head, just want to dump on you, just tell me.
Right.
And so they did that and they helped each other. So if they were across the room and someone goes, so they're so-so, so they said, so 1 minute come over, you know, they make a sign. And then they said, so.
All right, okay.
So they had basically three signs. Thumbs up, which
thumbs
is
up.
Great.
Okay.
So-so, which is kind of waving the arms, you know, midway. And then when they sort of go, yuck, it's like they're screwing up their face
and they're
kind of thumping their fists.
Okay.
Then they had three signals. And just by being able to release their emotions with one another, and a lot of times we say, don't give solutions to one another, just listen to one another. When the airport opened, I remember the EVP, who's the head of the airport, who is a veteran of 9 airport openings, reported that it was, and it was in his opening speech, it's the smoothest airport transition ever.
Mm.
And it's just because his team
were allowed to express themselves.
Allowed to express themselves. And they didn't give each other solutions because they're smart.
Yeah,
they
know
how to do it. And because of the calmness, it rippled through the whole team.
And it's true, isn't it? I mean, there are moments where we know the answer, but it's just, you know, you're just frustrated about something. And if you're given the permission to be frustrated, knowing that I'm not going to offend you,
yes,
you know, and people understand, okay, it's just that moment,
yes,
right? You know, then you're able to just let it go and do the stuff.
Correct, correct. So I mean, let's look at the contrast coming in from the aviation industry and walking in to KL a week before MH17 hit. So, I mean, poor Malaysian Airlines. I mean, they've had a disaster with 370. And then within 3 months, you know, another disaster hit. I mean, it's bad enough with one disaster. Mm. So what happened through the aviation industry is it's rippled now through pretty much all organizations to say it's not just Malaysian Airlines. It's just not the aviation industry. It could happen to any industry.
Yeah,
any disaster could happen. And if you looked at industries like aviation,
ships
or nuclear plants, or, you know, oil and gas or mining, they always have contingency plan for a disaster with the highest probability of happening.
Right.
So with someone like something like Malaysian Airlines, when a plane is lost, we usually think it's crashed,
right?
But in this case, they didn't plan for the plane
to disappear.
And there's no Bermuda Triangle. So what's happening?
Right.
So whenever there is an uncertainty, when we don't have a plan, we go into crises.
Right.
And if you think about the poor senior management who had to now suddenly, in the stress of the situation, take in more information, there's also foreign relations with China that we dealt with. So our politicians, our prime minister had to step in. And then not only about the families, so because the families don't know what's happening, so what about the crew, or rather the colleagues of people who had gone down with 370, or should I say gone lost with 370. I interviewed quite a few cabin crew because I've been flying Malaysian Airlines just to actually support them, because it wasn't their problem. It wasn't their misdemeanors that caused it. It was just a disaster that happened. And most of the crew actually said, I think it wasn't just about planning for the families and foreign relations. How about supporting us? Because we're flying with people who've lost really close friends. How do we support them? We don't have a plan or a way to talk about it. So a lot of that grief thing was not being handled. So they said, we wouldn't even mind losing our jobs, the 6,000 jobs, but let's help one another. What process can we do to deal with that? So there is no. So one of the key things we're learning is that how do you dissipate strategic decision-making, not just from the top level, but right down when something like that happens. So companies, brands can go to pot, because I remember checking in to fly out after MH370, and the ground crew just didn't know what face to put on. You know, it's really quite hard.
And we'll continue our discussion around being mindful in the midst of madness right after this. I'm here with Dr. Yvonne Sam. It's Race Your Game, BFM 89.9. This is Race Your Game on Enterprise. Good morning. This is Frida Liu. I'm here with Dr. Yvonne Sam. It's our Transformation in Transition series. You know, we're just starting off this series talking about being mindful in the midst of madness. And, you know, we're all in some sort of mini crisis at some stage. You know, everything can be seen as a crisis, whether we're going to hit our numbers, what's going to happen with GST, all these things affect us. Now, what are some principles to being mindful in situations? Big crisis, small crisis, it's a crisis to us.
So I think the key things, like I said, the first thing is pause. Take a deep breath. And that count to six as you breathe in and count to six as you breathe out. And do that 10 times. Just focusing on your breathing is just being mindful.
Right,
and just feeling the sensations in your body, and then as your mind clears, as your body stills, it's amazing how you're taking in information that's new that you might have missed out, and then amazing possibilities and plans start forming in your heads. Now, then the next part is action. So the first part is stilling it and calming it. The next action is, okay, what decision will I take now based on the new information I've got? And a lot of times, like I say, if it's GST, right? My GST is going to happen 1st of April. Do I now need to change all my systems? Right? But if you still your mind, you suddenly think like, okay, what's going to work prior on the 30th of March won't work on the 1st of April. So what am I going to do? Maybe I just need to go on Google and look at some new software.
Right.
Because maybe I just need to do some research today and just don't make any decisions. Just do some research.
Yeah, and I love that analogy of that bottle of water with sediment in it. If you just let it rest and then the sediment will settle and then you can see more clearly. But the sediment's still there.
Exactly.
Right, but it's settled. Yeah.
Correct. Mm. Exactly. So that's just two steps. Keep calm, still yourself with breathing, then maybe start taking some action in terms of looking and not making decisions yet. And then still yourself again and then make some decisions.
You know, being mindful and having a global mindset, are they one and the same?
How do you mean?
Being mindful and having a global mindset.
Okay, well, I guess they are not the same, but they are connected. So first of all, being mindful is being present to the changes. Now, the global mindset is a slightly different way of looking at the world. Because in the past, I think we have been rewarded by being very focused and foveal. So if we do great things with detail and we measure it, what goes in, information in, information out. So process in, process out. If you do it perfectly, we're going to get the right results. Now, in the meantime, the world globally has started to change. Right. So if you're too foveal in looking at a situation and not be mindful of what's changing around you, your process in with process out results in an old environment would have worked. But with the situation changing and time passing, suddenly, even if it's within a week or a month, whatever your result you want to output doesn't now match the global situation because you haven't been mindful of the changes over the last 10 days or a month while you're just doing your process. So one of the key things is people actually have to dance between doing a process and still engaging in the world. So you almost have to have a way of multi-tracking as you're doing your work, as you're doing yourself, what's happening in the rest of the world. So therefore, the global mindset means something that might be familiar in your world is now no longer familiar. So how do you, and I call it use UFOs in uncertainty. UFO stands for unfamiliar, familiar objects.
Okay.
So how do you suddenly, is there something that might be familiar in your world, but now it's unfamiliar in the context of the world? So you might need to ask questions. Mm. Now, ask Google, for our good friend, or ask your friends, because they might have just gone through a context and experienced something that you haven't experienced. So it's not about smartness of a degree or smartness of being experienced in just that one industry. Ask people that's not in your industry. Ask people that don't usually live your life. Ask people from a different culture.
Yeah.
So therefore, a global mindset means it's not East or West, it's East and West. It's not tradition and old versus technology and young. It's tradition married with young technology. It's not male or female. It's looking at feminine and masculine perspectives, because in the what worked, say, in a masculine world suddenly might need some more collaborative feminine style.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So now it's more about putting everything in the pie. And if you can't solve, you're suddenly in an unfamiliar context, you might actually want to ask someone who's usually unfamiliar with what you do to get their perspective.
Right.
And you've got to ask for help.
And I mean, you hear of great companies as well that, you know, like FedEx learned the whole business by looking at a bank, you know what I mean? Suddenly, you know, the answers are in a different industry completely, but you'll have to be still to notice that, right?
Correct.
What is this thing you talk about, extreme self-care?
Okay. It's really, really interesting. I've just come back from the Middle East, and you can imagine how extreme the weather is there, right? We have extremes of 55 degrees in summer in hot, dry weather, where the wind blows. And if you're left out there, you probably dry, you know, be like
a prune.
be salted fish out there, right? And then at about, in winter, it suddenly drops to 25 degrees, which in a way is a really balmy weather in most places, but suddenly everybody's wearing earmuffs. Because our body actually is designed not to go through extremes of changes, whether it's temperature in a climate
or life
life in general. And again, like the different cultures, the melting pot in the Middle East. So one of the key things I found is because I'm being thrown daily into extreme circumstances, one of the key things to counter that is to actually take that extra time to be extremely self-aware.
Mm.
So the nuances of waking up first thing in the morning.
Drinking
lots of water. And extremely so. I mean, not drown yourself in it. Apparently someone had done some research to say you can drown yourself in too much water, right?
Sure.
So you need to drink sips of water, but lots of it through the day as well. So extreme self-care. And again, mindful. As you're feeling a little bit stimulated in a different environment, different people, different thoughts, do the breathing and start being aware of what's happening in my body. What am I thinking and what am I feeling? Mm. So again, going back to the opening of the airport, working with those eight amazing managers who, you know, I just they had lost track of their emotions.
Right.
They're trying to park their emotions to do something rational. And I said, let's try it out. Let's talk about our feelings. Mm-hmm. They used to look at me. Can you imagine this German engineers, you know, this French engineers just looking at me like she's talking about feelings. And in fact, our learning and development senior manager called me up and said, Yvonne, I heard you use the word love in your first session with the senior management team. And I said, what's wrong with that? Love means the absence of fear, trying to kind of eradicate fear within that team. He just cracked up. He said, well, they actually said there was a very strange way. Within 10 days, they got used to using the word, you using the word love with them. Because I said, how much are you loving yourself? So that's a little bit of extreme.
Right.
You know, like actually looking at the extreme things, because we talk about liking something, liking our work, liking ourselves, liking our friends. How about loving your work?
Yeah.
How about loving your team? How about loving yourself, which is like so foreign for those engineers to think about? Yeah. We don't talk about love at work.
Yeah.
So
it's extreme, after five.
It's after five. So extreme self-care is really almost indulging in many times during the day,
okay,
to indulge yourself,
mm,
to sit there for 5 minutes and drink a cup of tea in silence,
mm,
okay, and basically put a sign out on your door,
D&D,
do not disturb. Or I think, like I say, our senior manager in group learning and development, he used to say, I just had to think of a way of putting like a red flag when I'm in the middle of doing something, because people were just... He's very engaging as well. So people just rock up and say, hey, I'd like to ask you something. And what's he going to say? No. So he said he needed like a little red flag to say, just don't disturb me just for 5 minutes because I'm thinking or I'm sipping my cup of tea. I don't need to lock myself in the closet to do that.
I have 4 hours in the studio, bliss.
And then you're disturbed by this mad woman talking about mindfulness in the midst of madness.
All right. Yeah. Well, next week, we'll still continue our transformation transition series. We're going to be discussing being agile in adversity, agility in adversity. So stay tuned for that. I've been speaking to Dr. Yvonne Sam, and this is our transformation transition series in Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.